Yours for this fellowship through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Tonight is going to be a teaching on courage. Courage is an interesting word. Courage, one quote, is a virtue precisely because one acts resolutely despite one's justified fear. That is, courage is not the lack of fear, but its mastery. That's a good illustration. And virtue from Latin, virtus, means moral strength, high character, goodness, manliness, valor, bravery. So what we're going to talk about is courage in our individual lives and what Yahweh has called us to do, what Christ our head has called us to do, if we will just rise up and do it. And that takes courage because guess what? The world hates, as a whole, hates Christ. And so if you're going to speak for Christ as a whole, it's going to hate you too. So most people, instead of doing that, they silence it because now the world doesn't attack me. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 4. Examples of people who have courage. You know it in battle. But it's the little things. And here's just an example as we're going to Acts. In Matthew 19:18, it says, excuse me, if you see a brother who has done an error, you are supposed to go talk to him by yourself. And if he listens to you, great. If he doesn't listen to you, you bring a couple more people with you. If he doesn't listen to those people, then you bring it before the church, and if he doesn't listen to the church, and then he's gone. Now, how many times have you, or anybody in this room, know somebody who needs, is walking, or saying, or doing the wrong thing, and where you do not speak up? So when you do not speak up, you are not courageous, but you're actually looking at your own benefit, generally. And obviously, I don't want to maybe hurt the person, but now I got to choose between doing what Christ and Yahweh say or choosing what makes me feel better. So that takes courage to do because guess what? The person might not like you from there on. And that's why a person usually will be quiet. Let's go to Acts 4, verse. And this is great. We know these accounts. So we're going to show you acts of courage. 4:1-3. But as they were speaking unto the people, these are the apostles, or Peter and John, the high priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being tired out because of their teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua the resurrection from among the dead. And they thrust on them their hands and put them in custody for the morrow, for it was evening already. So we're going to see, here's a pattern. The other apostles are going to see these people did not like for you to be speaking about Yahushua and the resurrection. So as an example, we're going to get two of you and put you in jail. Okay, so what does that tell the rest of the 10?
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Or I could go to jail. That's the purpose of it. Now we go to verse 18. And calling them, they gave them the sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud, nor even to be teaching upon the name of Yahushua. Now, isn't that something? That's the same as the word Yahweh. So in churches today, it's going to be completely almost absent, the name of Yahweh. The God that they are supposedly are there to serve is completely absent. And why? Because it's not popular. It's breaking tradition. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 12. You know, they end up getting out. Now, you remember the other 10 saw what happened to Peter and, was that John? Yeah, Peter and John. And through the hands of the apostles were coming to pass many signs and wonders among the people. And there was one accord in the portico of Solomon, Howbeit of the rest, no one does join himself unto them. Nevertheless, the people continue to magnify them. Now we go to 17, verse 21. But the high priest arising, and all who were with him, being the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy, and thrust their hands upon the apostles and put them in a public
room. Verse 17 through 21. You said chapter 17.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I?
You meant verse.
No, chapter 5, verse 17. My mistake. I'll start over. But the high priest arising and all who were with him, being the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. And remember that, you know, so much of it is they're getting attention that we want. That's what jealousy is. Competing for them and blaming them for what happened. And thrust their hands upon the apostles and put them in a public ward. But a messenger of the Lord, of Yahweh, by night opened the doors of the prison and leading them out said, be going your way and taking your stand, be speaking in the temple unto the people all the decorations of this life. And when they heard this, they entered under the dawn into the temple and began teaching. Does that take courage?
He's got out of prison.
Yes. Yeah, does that take courage?
Yes.
Yes. And come on, a little response here. That's a question. Yes. Because they just got out of prison. These guys have a lot of authority. And the high priest and they who were with him arriving called together the high council, and obviously they found out they were gone. So now we go to 40, verse 40 to 42. And they were persuaded by him, and that was Gamaliel saying, leave them alone, and calling to them the apostles, they with beating charged them not to be speaking upon the name of Yahushua and let them go. Okay, that took courage. This is the consequences of disobeying us. They therefore went rejoicing from the presence of the high council, and that they had been accounted worthy in behalf of the name to suffer dishonor. Where did the persecution come from? The Gentiles or the nations? From Pilate? No, it came from Christians. In that particular time, that was the Jews.
No, it came from the Jews.
Well, I know, but in today's time, it comes from the Christians. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, the Protestant Church, you know, who killed Tinsdale? Mm-hmm. The Protestants. Who tried to kill Luther? The Catholics. You know, why was Tinsdale such an offense? Because he put the Bible in English. That was his crime. I mean, these are just, you know, if you didn't believe in the Trinity, a death penalty. Or burning at the stake. And who did that? The Christian church, because Satan is in the Christian church today. And the whole thing is to keep people silent. Now we go to, but we saw the apostles do this. Now there's a guy named Micaiah. We're going to 1 Kings 22, 6. And if the adversary cannot get rid of the word like he does in communist countries, then the other thing is to be silent about it. So stop the manifestations of the Spirit. Stop speaking in tongues. Stop tongues with interpretation of property. Add things to it. You know, false gods. You know, God the Father, God the Son. With the Catholics, pray to Mary. She's our mediator. So 22 verses 6 through 8.
You said 22, 6?
No, it's chapter 22. 1 Kings
6.
Yeah, yes. 6 through 8. So we're going to give you some of the backdrop. Then said Jehoshaphat unto the king of Israel, and what they're looking for is, are they supposed to go to war against his country? They're trying to get counsel. That's the context. Seek, I pray you, at once the word of Yahweh. So the king of Israel gathered together, who is Ahab, or Oxhob, which is his real name. It's not Ahab, it's Oxhob, which means brother, father. About 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramah Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, what do you want us to say, king? That's all it is. You want to go? The word of the Lord says, go. Go up, that the Lord may deliver it into the hand of the king. Then said Jehoshaphat, is there not here a prophet of Yahweh besides that we may seek from him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, besides is a certain man by whom we might seek Yahweh, but I hate him. For he had never moved to prophesy concerning me anything good, only evil. Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now wait a minute, you have 400 against one. Who's got courage? Like the 400. It's going to be the one. It's going to be the one. And why? Because what happens, you know, the high priest and the Sadducees are no different than Ahab. Stop speaking and only speak what we condone to. So you can't speak about Yahushua and say the resurrection of the dead because that breaks the Sadducees' order. Because there is no resurrection of the dead from among the dead. And you're going to say, we killed this guy when we did, but don't tell anybody we killed this guy.
We weren't responsible.
Yeah, we weren't responsible. Yeah, you were. And there's another thing, too, that the church will try to say, who's responsible for Yahushua's death? And they're going to say, we were. No. The scripture says, the people who put him to death were the ones. And so Peter then says, you crucified the Lord. Peter didn't say, I crucified the Lord, and that's the real thing today, to be real, oh, we all put him to death. No. They said right off the bat, so don't let anybody trick you on that. You guys put him to death. And not. Then the king of Israel called a certain courier and said, hasten Micaiah, son of Imlah. I'm going to jump into a place right here. Go to 13. Now we see this information is on courage. Now the messenger who went to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, I pray thee, the words of the prophets with one mouth are good. As touching the king, let thy word, I pray thee, be as the word of one of them. We're told that in the church every day.
Don't cause a problem.
Yeah, every church is saying, agree with us. And there's no problem. Agree with us, and there's no problem. That's all we're asking you to do. So wilt thou speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, by the life of Yahweh, what Yahweh said unto me, that will I speak. You know, is that courage? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going up to the king, and any prophet of Yahweh had to have courage. Because generally, it's people did not make them garnish them with every good thing in life. It's on the contrary, they usually went against them because the prophet's coming into town because you're out of line. Now we go to 19. And then he said, therefore hear thou, in Micaiah, the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting upon his throne. Now this is going to go over like a lead balloon. All the hosts of the heavens standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And who's giving them this revelation?
Yahweh
is. And Yahweh said, who will persuade a Achab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said in this manner, and another said in that manner. Then came forth a Ruach and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and become a Ruach of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. How do you think of the 400 people that he just is there present hearing this same thing? Take courage?
Yeah.
So he said, thou mayest persuade, yea, and prevail, go forth and do so. Now therefore, lo, Yahweh has suffered a spirit of falsehood to be put into the mouth of all these thy prophets. Wrong, wrong, wrong. But Yahweh himself has spoken concerning the calamity. And then it goes through here. Let's finish at the end, 28. Oh, let's go to 26.
Well, first he gets smacked across the face.
Yeah, I know. I got so many things to do here. 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, captain of the city, and unto Joash, son of the king, And thou shalt say, thus saith the king, put this man into prison. Oh, that was great. You know, if I speak truth, I'm going to be put into prison. Today, if we speak truth, which is courage, I'm going to be rejected by most Christians. Do you have the courage to do that? And let him eat the bread of oppression. Oh, that's going to be great. With the water of oppression until I enter in peace. Oh, yeah. Micaiah's not done. Then said Micaiah, if thou return in peace, Yahweh hath not spoken by me. And he said, hear ye people, all of you. Courage, that's with a capital C. Of what he went to prison in the process of it. So it's 400 against one, but Micaiah was right, and the king didn't listen. Oxhob, and he was killed. I wonder if they let him out of prison and said, speak to us from now on and kill the 400. Put the 400 in prison and give them the bread of oppression and let Micaiah be our counselor. No. It's the heart of man. No. We'll get rid of Micaiah and put another king up here and keep our 400 prophets. Now, we want the false prophets because they go with us. Let's go to Moses, Exodus 32:1. Moses and Aharon. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, up, make for us gods who shall go before us. Now, there's a moment of are you going to rise in courage or are you going to submit in fear? For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. And Aharon said to him, break off the rings of gold. Okay, so Aharon did not manifest courage. He did just the opposite. Cowardice. And so really the opposite of courage is cowardice. Now we saw what Moses does. Courage, big contrast between, and the people are pushing. So always remember, it's the people who are running the ship, not the individual. The people are running the ship. And that's what we know in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. There will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will they heap unto them teachers. The people are running the ship. So now we get to when Moses comes down and sees this, let's see what courage does. Chapter 32, verse 25-28. And Aaron, you want to read that?
Moses saw the people, that unbridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein, for whispering among their enemies. So Moshe took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, who is for Yahweh? To me. Then gathered unto him all the sons of Levi, and they said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate to the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his friend, every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell among the people on that day about 3,000 men.
Wow, that's great for your church. That's courage, and the Levites manifested courage too, because they might be killing their brothers or the family members.
Yeah, the rest of the tribes, because it turned on them. They're one tribe.
Yeah, they're one tribe. And this is why they got the priesthood, because of what they did when they rose up to do this. Yahweh rewarded them. So the one thing we're going to find out is you got courage, which is leadership, whether you realize it or not, which equals results in rewards. Now we go to Ehud, Judges chapter 3. Ehud is a great individual too, one-on-one.
Ehud?
E-H-U-D, Ehud. Judges chapter 3, verse 15-21. Can you read that, Wendy?
And the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh, and Yahweh raised up unto them a Savior Ehud, son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And the sons of Israel sent by his left hand a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. So Ehud made himself a sword which had two edges, a cubit in length, and girded it under his raiment upon his right thigh. So he offered the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was an exceedingly fat man, and so it was when he had made an end of offering the present that he sent away the people who had been bearing the present. But he himself turned back from the images that were by Gilgal and said, a secret word have I unto thee, O king. And he said, silence. Thereupon went out from his presence all who had been standing near him. And Ehud came in unto him, he having been sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, a divine word have I unto thee. So he arose from his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his body. And the handle also went in after the blade, and the flesh closed upon the blade, for he withdrew not the sword out of his body. And he came into the out into the antechamber.
We'll stop there. Okay, that's somebody with courage. Because if he gets caught on that, he's not probably going to be just killed. He's going to be probably tortured. Now we go to verse 30. And Moab was subdued on that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest how long?
80.
80 years because of what this person did. Think of the reward that the people, the Israelites, have because of Ehud. And Ehud judged them until his death. So 80 years, but then you have to understand, why don't these people go astray? Because Ehud won't allow it.
Yeah.
They're ruling a lot, and that is you've got to control these people, and that's called leadership. That's what Moses did, right? And we're going to see what Ehud did with that, because now we're going to go to 4 verse 1. And the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh when Ehud was dead. So you can see who was maintaining order. It was the judge Ehud. 80 years, the people got it. But once the reins got taken off, like with Aharon, the bridle and the reins got loosened, the people go, they automatically go to evil. We're going to see this pattern over and over. Let's see Gideon chapter 6, verse 1. And many times our focus is on the wrong thing. It's looking at a leader or a person in charge of a church rather than the people who are attending the church as being the problem. Because why they're attending is because they're telling him what they want to eat. Possibly. And the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. So Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because Midian did the sons of Israel prepare for themselves the hollows which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. So these guys are hiding out like dogs in caves and everything else. But now we go into verse 11 to 12. Then came the messenger of Yahweh and sat down under the oak which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite. And Gideon, his son, was beating out wheat in the winning press to escape the notice of the Midianites. So the messenger of Yahweh appeared unto him and said unto him, Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Isn't that great? And valor is associated with courage. Chapter 8, verse 28. You know the whole story about him. He wins 300... You know, I guess I've got 130,000 or something like that.
135,000.
So courage, absolutely courage. Mm-hmm. 8:28. Then was Midian subdued before the sons of Israel. Neither did they again lift up their head, and the land had rest for how long? 40 years, because of one man, Gideon, and really his 300 men that fought with him in the days of Gideon. But look what happens. 33, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, the same old record. The sons of Israel turned back and went and chased, betrayed after the Baals and appointed them Baal Berith to be God. You know, leaving Yahweh again. And I really see, you know, we know that Yahweh says, the qualifications of Yahweh is, Yahweh, and El Avraham and Han, is slow to anger and abundant in his said and he met. And it's talking about the generations, holding back things for the second and third and fourth generation. And we usually know that. I would really think of why that is not because it was supposed to be designed that way, but I think the generation has corrupted the whole thing, the whole society around them. It's going to take two or three or four generations to undo it. So I think in the United States right now, what corruption has done, you know, with the Democrat Party, with Obama, you know, Biden, that's going to take generations to undo the laws and everything else. And so we know with Yahweh, you can't punish a son for what a father did. He tells you specifically that. So you can't be punishing, you know, sons of a person who committed sins. But it appears, you know, for the second, third, fourth generation, you're talking about sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. And I would think more it's going to be about a deterioration of what your wickedness has done. It's going to take that long to fully get out of it, as long as these other sons walk uprightly. Because there's ramifications of walking in evil. The other side gets really big, wise. I mean, but that's besides the teaching. But we saw they turned back on him again. Let's see, Joshua. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Obviously, he was a mighty man of valor.
Deuteronomy or Joshua?
Deuteronomy 31, we're going to talk about Joshua. Yahushua. 31, verses 6 through 8. And this is Moses. Be firm and bold, and that is for courage. These are words that mean being strong, strengthened. Be firm and bold, do not fear. And so you see, the opposite of courage was what?
Fear.
And fear is, like you said, I like that. That is, courage is not the lack of fear, but it's mastery. Because I still go forward. Like Joyce Myers would say that, do it afraid. You got fear, you do it afraid. And anytime we're going to present a message that Yahweh tells us to present to somebody, or we're going to speak in tongues, or we're going to stand up and make a stand, we're going to have apprehension or fear that this is going to go over like a lead balloon. And that's why we haven't done it before. But you have to be able to really to say, I'm ready. You know, a courageous person has to say, I'm going to do what is right regardless of the cost. Because it is right. Unless Yahweh tells me not to do it. Be firm and bold. Back to 6. Be firm and bold and do not fear nor tremble because of them. For Yahweh thy Elohim is he who is going with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It's always, and you're going into it. Land of Canaan, when you're outnumbered, you got giants there, you're attacking a walled cities. Let's see here.
Not a walled city. Walled cities.
It's all the way through here. You're going into their neighborhood. Let's go to 7 and 8. And Moses called for Yahushua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be firm and bold. There's a second again. Second time, for thou shalt go up with this people into the land which Yahweh swore unto their fathers to give unto them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. But Yahweh it is who is going before thee. He will be with thee. And so for courage, we got to remember that. Yahweh's with me. If Yahweh's told me to do it, he will not abandon me. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thou must not fear. And so fear is always a counter. It's going to stop courage. Not fear nor be dismayed. Now we go to, 23. And he commanded Yahushua, son of Nun, and said, be firm and bold, for thou shalt bring the sons of Israel into the land which I have sworn to them, and I will be with thee. Okay, is there any question on this? Yahweh says through Moses, you're going to get this thing done. things sometimes don't go the way we anticipate them. So go to Joshua 1. And we don't have to go there, but verses 5 through 7 is going to be the same thing. Yahweh is saying, be firm. Let's just do it with 5. No man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, neither will I forsake thee. Be firm and bold. And then what happens is, there is a failure that happens. And you go to chapter 7, and things do not go the way they're anticipated. And that's also with Moses. On the first plague, it made life worse for the Israelites. They took away their straw. So wait a minute here. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to be with me. What happened? No, that's all right. So we're going to see what Joshua, because, Achan's sin got people killed, about 30 men. You know the story. And now we're going to go to verse 4.
To what?
Chapter 7, verse 4 to 11. Somebody want to read 4 to 11?
There went up thither the people, therefore, about 3,000 men. They fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and smote them on the slope that, so that the heart of the people melted and became as water.
Yeah, there we got the fear. And how Yahushua is going to handle it.
Go on, Mel, will you read?
Then Yahushua rent his clothes and fell upon his face to the earth before the ark of Yahweh until the evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they lifted up the dust on their heads. And Yahushua said, Alas, my Lord Yahweh, wherefore hast thou brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorite to destroy us?
Stop. Whoa. You just insulted Yahweh. Yahweh said, you're going to take this land. Be firm and bold. Is he firm and bold right now?
No.
No, he's discouraged. He's cowering because he didn't see this happening. But look what Yahweh does with him. Let me see here. Within we have been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. That's just unbelief galore. That is cowardice. Oh my Lord, what shall I say after Israel had turned their backs before their enemies? Only let the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land hear, and they will surround us and cut off our name out of the earth. What then wilt thou do for thy great name? Wow, unbelief. Everything Yahweh said, you're just undone. And look what Yahweh comes back. And Yahweh said unto him, Get thee up. Wherefore is it that thou art lying upon thy face? Wait a minute, I was doing something holy. No. Israel hath sinned, and we know what happened. Now we go into Timothy, a great leader of courage.
That was like Moses at the beginning, his unbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to realize sometimes it doesn't look successful. I did what Yahweh says, and things getting better, actually it got worse. The 2 Timothy chapter 1, it should go through chapter 1 verses 3 through 8, but looking at the time, these are words of encouragement. I'll just start at 5. A reminder having received of the unfringed faith that is in thee, such as dwell first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded moreover that dwelleth in thee also. Remember, this is encouraging. Encouraging does what? And puts in courage. So when we encourage somebody to proceed, we're giving them courage. For which cause I put thee in remembrance to be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor, which is in thee through means of laying on thy hands. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of what?
Cowardness.
And so, obviously, Yahweh is telling him, he's backing up. You start feeling pretty alone out there when you're by yourself. But a power and love and corrections. Be not thou therefore what put to shame. So obviously he has a tendency to be putting to shame because he's going upstream. And with regard to the witness of our Lord, nor with regard to me, his prisoner, but do what? Suffer what?
Hardship.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Does this gig, being courageous, means I'm going to have to suffer hardship?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to be courageous because I don't want to suffer hardship. So be it. Mm-hmm. We'll find a person like Gideon, Ehud, Yahushua, Moses, and we'll find the different people who will rise up to do it. And a lot of times, things got so bad because nobody would rise up because I don't want to suffer hardship.
Oh, Asia.
Yeah, they're not looking, they're looking at the present, and they've been trained, and so that's it. All this is training by the God of this age. That's 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of them, and so they don't believe. Now we're going to look at that enduring hardship. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my child, be empowering thyself in the favor that is in Christ Yahushua. Is this words of encouragement?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same entrust thou unto faithful men, such as shall be competent to teach others also. Take thy part in doing what?
Suffering
hardship as a brave soldier of Christ Yahushua. Wow. And 4 verses 1 through 5. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging living and dead, but as to his foreshining kingdom, proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, encourage, with all long suffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will wail unto themselves, heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, well unto stories they will turn themselves aside. But thou be sober in all things, suffer what?
Hardship.
Do the work of an evangelist, the ministry completely fulfilled. Now we look at Paul, verses, verses 16, 4:16. In my first defense, no man came in unto me, but all forsook me. Unto them may it not be reckoned. Does Paul, was he a courageous individual?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the star of courage. But the Lord stood by me and did what?
Empowered
me. So if you have to choose between the Lord or your friends or yourself, then you choose Christ or Yahweh. In order that through me the proclamation might be fully made of all the nations might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion, and the Lord will rescue me from every wicked work, and will bring me safe into the heavenly kingdom, unto whom be the glory unto the ages, ages. Amen. And we know at the end of his ministry, he said, all Asia has turned from me. That's very discouraging. Did it stop him from teaching the truth?
No.
And so it's even right here, but all eight, and that's in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 1.
15.
Yeah, 1:15. So wait a minute, that doesn't look like very fruitful at all. No, they've been given the word, and they, because of their itching ears, have heaped up teachers. And we saw that in Galatians. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 1, and this is the whole book of 2 Corinthians, is encouragement. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, the Father of Raham, the Elohim of all what?
Encouragement.
Watch how this word is used. Who encourages us in all of our tribulation. To the end we may be able to what?
Encourage
them who are in any tribulation. The means of what? The encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged by Yahweh. We got to pass that on to see somebody who's trying to walk, and actually our representatives right now, who are running for office, by us financially supporting them or coming to their meeting is encouragement. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging them to have courage to keep going up. If nobody shows up and you look all about yourself, to heck with it. You know, I'm not going to spend all this time and energy in the political sector in order to be, or people not showing up.
Show up goes all the way to 7.
Yeah, I know. So 5, because even as the suffering of the Christ overflowed unto us, so through the Christ overfloweth our encouragement also. But whether we are in tribulation, it is for your encouragement and salvation, whether we are encouraged. For it is for your encouragement which worketh inwardly by the endurance of the same suffering which we also suffered. And so our hope is sure in your behalf, knowing that as you are sharers of the suffering, so also of the encouragement. Wait a minute, time out. I don't like that S word. Or, you know, suffering. You know, I'm here to not suffer. That's why I do things. And also, what was the other word?
Hardship.
Yeah, suffer hardship. The SH word. Yeah, suffer hardship. Hardship. No, I really try to avoid hardship, and I try to avoid suffering at all cost. Chapter 7, verse 4 to 9. Yeah, 2 Corinthians is full of it. Great is my freedom of speech towards you. Great is my boasting in behalf of you. I am filled with the encouragement. I am greatly superabounding with the joy in all our, what? Tribulation. Wow, that's a way to look at tribulation. Interesting. For even when we came into Macedonia, no relief at all had our flesh, but in every way we were in, what? Tribulation. I don't like that T word either. The S word, suffering. Tribulation, H word, hardship. Yeah, man. Without fighting, within fears, but he who encouraged them that are brought low encouraged us. Even Yahweh, by the presence of Titus, not however by his presence alone, but also by the encouragement wherewith he had been encouraged over you, recounting to us your earnest desire, your lamentation, your zeal on my behalf, so that I the more rejoice. Because if I even grieved you by this letter, I do not regret. Did he write letters that made people happy? No, that's 1 Corinthians. That's Galatians. You know, so it's reproof. It's reproof.
That was your best life now.
Yeah, that's it. Let's see here.
Read 16.
You go ahead and read it.
I rejoice that, pardon me, that in everything I am of good courage respecting you.
That's all the way through here. And we'll go to Revelation 2. Because the other thing is, God, now, okay, I got suffering, I got hardship, and I've got, what's the T word? Oh, tribulation. What do I get out of this? Rewards. Rewards, rewards, rewards. Yahweh pays. Okay, why did Paul do what he did? Rewards. Why did Christ suffer? Why did he bear the cross? And that's in Hebrews 12. For the joy that was set before him. So we have to look, we got to keep our focus on the rewards. Really, many times, choose between this world and the coming new earth.
Yeah.
And make sure we're in the will of Yahweh. Sometimes it's not our job. He doesn't want us to do this, and we go off and do something foolish, like becoming a missionary in Zimbabwe when he never called us to be a missionary in Zimbabwe. So make sure you're on the right page. We're talking about individual revelation, but Revelation chapter 2, this is just an example, 8 through 11. And unto the messenger of the assembly in Samaria write, these sayings saith the first and the last, who became dead and lived. I know thy tribulation and destitution. Nevertheless, thou art rich, and the profane speech from among them who affirm that thou themselves are Jews, and they are not, but a synagogue of what? Satan. Do not fear the things which thou art about to suffer. Okay, oh, there's that S word again.
About to suffer.
Lo, the adversary is about to cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried and may have tribulation 10 days. There's a T word again. Become thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Wow. There's the reward. There's a reward. There's a reward. You know, now this book is not written to us. We're not going to be going through this. That was a church in Smyrna. So, that's a reward. One little note, we're not going to go there. But we have been told, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Just embrace it. And so, if you love Christ, you're going to love me, and you're going to love Yahweh. If I'm representing Christ, and I'm doing what the Word says, and I get hissed at or banned, it's because they don't want Yahweh and they don't want Christ. So, we've been warned. They're going to hate you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. If they call me Beelzebub, they're going to say, you have demons also. We'll stop there. So, okay, we've been told. That's the gig. And so, new earth, new earth, new earth. Yeah. Reward, reward, reward.
The hope.
I'm so frightened. I'm so frightened. Just do it. You do it. You do what Yahweh says.
Do it afraid.
Yeah, do it afraid. And make sure it's the right timing, but you speak up and do it. So now we hear from Father, 1 Corinthians 14, a word of prophecy. Rejoice in all tribulation. Realize that I am in the tribulation with you. I hold your hand in these particular times. But you shall be delivered from this tribulation. You are in a dark and perverse nation, but I am abiding within you as my Son abides in you, which is power. So do not forget the ability that you have from the gift that I put inside you in order that you may overcome all adversities. See you next week.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.